death of Luyens, there was great grief and sorrow. Many people lost their lives. Many experienced cruel actions offered toward them by the Babylonians. And there was great suffering and trouble abounded. And so that was indeed the true message of this morning. But now this evening, if we turn to Jeremiah, there's hope. There's some hope for us this morning. Bearing in mind what we've heard this morning, now we see this evening the contrast. That's why we're turning this evening to Jeremiah 29 and verses 10 to 14 for meditation upon God's word. Because in these words, we'll find great encouragement for you and myself as believers. As men and women who love the Lord, God is here saying to us tonight, I'll not leave you. I'll be with you. I'll help you. I will guide you. And perhaps that's the message which you need this evening. As you consider your own present and future, you wonder what way is God guiding you? What has God planned for you in your life? What lies ahead of you? Well, you'll see here this evening from Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and following, that God the Lord here assures us of his presence and of his direction along this way. And so the Lord says to his people here that after a period of some 70 years, they'll be delivered from bondage and the slavery of bondage to return home. God is here saying to them, I will come, I deliver you, and that's my promise to you. You will find yourself then safe and secure in your care and my care and keeping. That was the encouragement brought to the children of Israel during a time of great distress and trouble in their lives. Before we get any further at this stage, consider the congregation. Just as Jeremiah was encouraging the people of his day, we all need to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged in our various situations and stations in life. Our young people, the young people in this congregation, need to be encouraged. I suggest that this is a hard time, a hard age, hard time for all young people, no matter who they are. And so it's up then to you folks who are that bit older in this congregation, those who are older. Encourage young folks you meet and know in the congregation. Encourage them. That will simply mean as you meet those young people, perhaps in the church, outside in the car park, into the car, however they're doing. Go forward to those young folks and say to them, how are you getting on? How's school going? What are your plans? What are you doing? What are you thinking of for the future? You may say to yourself, I couldn't do that. Of course you could. Of course you could. To make your church here a very much family-oriented church, a family church, you must do that. Those of you who are a bit older this evening, take time for your young people in the congregation. Because friends, time spent with the youth at this stage will pay dividends in years to come. We'll be able to realise that in years to come, young people will come forward and say, well, so-and-so in the congregation spoke to me. So-and-so inquired after my well-being. And that helped me. That's the role we've got to play. We encourage then our young people. We encourage us, those who are employed. We appreciate that employment's not easy these days. Someone does a job of work for you in your business, in your farm, your home. Do a good job. Commend them and thank them. No matter what they're doing, encourage them. And then again, if there are young people in this congregation or others in the congregation too who perhaps are looking for work, needing employment. Well, I realise that's the case because in the prayer calendars we've had here in Kalats for a week or two now, names have been mentioned of folks who are looking for employment. Well, keep on praying for them. But more than that, go forward and speak to them and say, well, how are things going? Any sort of a job? How's it working out for you? Encouragement is so important. Now, I mentioned that as an aside to my sermon this evening, but I believe it's a very important aside. always remember a church family, as a family, show love and concern to remember. And all these there are. But then ultimately, we all need to be encouraged in our Christian faith, in our Christian walk with God. We're called upon to live faithfully to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not easy these days. Those of you who were present last Sabbath evening will remember how in my exposition of God's word from Daniel, we saw how Daniel revealed great courage in his love for the Lord. So for ourselves, friends, we likewise need to be encouraged in our faith. Encourage one another. We know someone's in difficulties, someone's in problems. Draw near to uphold them. You know, friends, sometimes we're far too shy, we're far too quiet, we're far too reticent. But stepping forward, I mean, a word of encouragement. Don't be like that. Because that word of encouragement you speak to someone else might be the very word that person needed at that point in time. At such times, it's always the comfort of God's word that we turn to for our help. So then, tonight I want to encourage you and comfort you this evening from God's word. I base this sermon this evening on Jeremiah chapter 29, especially the words of verses 10 to 14. We see here, first of all, those of you who are taking notes, first of all, we note here a problem. Verse 10 reads, "This is what the Lord says. When the 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promises to bring you back to this place." The problem was these Jewish people, were in exile. Far away from Babylon, there they endured much cruel treatment, much hardship. But then God comes in verse 10 and says to them, after 70 years, I will deliver you from your bondage of Babylon and bring you back safely home again. The historical background to Jeremiah is such that God's chosen covenant people, the Israelites, that nation will experience much of God's grace at this particular time as he delivered them from their terrible situation. Yes, God will fulfill the promise which he had made and deliver them from their bondage. In turn, their problem will be removed from them as they prove God more fully in their lives. And so it happened, that was the case. After 70 years, in a way, humanly speaking, which didn't make sense, but in a way which was known only to God, God so arranged it that children of Israel could return back to their homes once again. Yes, they had a problem, but God was going to see them safely through and going to deliver them. And friends, for ourselves, you and I in life have our problems. We have our difficulties. Many a time we say to ourselves, how can I have this problem? How can I overcome it? Well, rest contentedly as you leave your problems to the cross. As you leave your problems in God's care and keeping, then God will be merciful and God will undertake for you. You see, historically, it's because of their disobedience that these people have been taken into captivity in Babylon in the first place. But the Lord is saying, your time or 70 years will be completed, you're brought back again to safety. A problem. And friends, I'm trying to say to you this evening, because all of our problems and dilemmas of life, rest assured that God the Lord has not forsaken you. He's there for you. He will deliver you. And he will help. This is, after all, what the Christian message is all about. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's to trust God, the Lord, in the ups and downs of life. It's all very well, trusting God. You know, the sun's shining bright in the sky. The wind's on our backs. We're going through life, no problems, difficulties. That's easy. But whenever problems come our way, whenever it gets hard, it's then that you and I, in a very real way, can prove the Lord in a special way as one who's at work in our lives. How reassuring are the words of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, which tells us, God says to us there, I will not leave you nor forsake you. If you have a problem this evening, and your problem is very private and personal, perhaps you're the one who knows it, or those who are closest to you only know it, you don't feel you can share it. That's well enough, that's good. But with your problem, leave it at the throne of grace, deal with God, and lay hold upon the promise that God will not leave you nor forsake you. He'll still be with you in the midst of your problems. And just as he delivered the children of Israel out of Babylon, trust him also to deliver you from your problem. But then secondly, we see here a plan. A plan. Verse 11 reads, God speaking again says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Friends, could you begin to imagine this evening how these exiles in this heathen foreign land of Babylon, confronting all manner of hardships and difficulties, how they must have felt when this word of verse 11 came to attention? In Babylon, they imagined themselves being forsaken, that God was no longer interested. But Jeremiah tells them differently. He says, no, not so, he says. Your covenant God has a plan, a purpose for your life. But we must see here this evening that this is not man's plan you're considering, but this is God's plan for the good of his own believing people. Jeremiah tells them that when they cooperate with their captors and become good citizens of the land, then they discover that God has a plan to do good for them and not evil. A plan of peace and comfort, and a bright future, as they trusted in him. But what they had to do to fulfill that plan was this. They needed to trust God to work in all things. Trusting God, just as we learned this morning, it's the same message this evening. Trusting God regards the situation. And friends, this evening, God has a plan for your life and my life. As you and I walk with the Lord day by day and depend upon him, we just don't know exactly what that plan is. One thing we do know is that his plan for our lives is such as should live for him day by day and obey him and honour him. But what's the consolation in knowing, the comfort in knowing that God will fulfill his plan, our lives, for our good and for his glory? A few young people here in church this evening, again, it's good to see young people in the evening worship. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what God has planned for me. Perhaps you reach a stage in your life, coming near the end of exam time, or coming to a final year, or whatever it might be into the future. And you say to yourself many at a time, what am I going to do? What will I do for the future? Will I work here or work there? Will I find a job here or there? And you sit down and you wonder yourself and you scratch your head and you say, I wonder what God's plan is. Well, I'm here to say to you this evening, young and old alike, as you depend upon God the Lord, you will see, as the children of Israel saw here, a plan. And a plan will be unfurled before your eyes. Now, God will not tell you the plan for 10 years hence, But it's take you step by step by step. And to take you step by step, he graciously and lovingly revealed to you his purposes for your life. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? To realize that God is doing all things well in our lives. God will do for us far better than we could do for ourselves. If we were left to plan our own futures, we wouldn't make a hash of it. It's a terrible mess. But when we leave ourselves in God's care and healing and trust him, then as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 18, he'll do all things perfectly in our lives. As a young teenager, my attention was brought all those years ago now to the words of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And I thank God those words were burned into my very being. Let me remind you of those words just now. And for people in the congregation this evening, I trust you find these words also reassuring to your situations, especially to young folks. Remember this, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I discovered those words as a young believer in my teenage years. I had hold upon those words and found great comfort in them during good days in my life. And then as I approached my 20s, illness overtook my body. But I have found the words of that promise and those words to be so reassuring. A God in control, a God ruling for good, and a God doing all things correctly. And so today, I, like you, acknowledge the sovereignty of God and depend upon him, knowing whatever comes our pathway in life, that God the Lord is doing all things well and all things correctly in our lives. A problem. A plan. Now, thirdly, we see here a prayer. A prayer. Look at verses 12 and 13. Offering this message to the people, Jeremiah then tells us here in verse 12, our God speaking to Jeremiah says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all my heart, with all your heart. Can we see the contrast here, friends? My address this evening commenced with a problem confronting the Jewish nation. The people, the city of Jerusalem, have been overtaken. Great loss of life, great destruction all around. Everything was shattered. But what is God here telling his people to do? What is he telling them to do? He says to them there, they are to pray to him for aid and for assistance. Pray to him for aid and for assistance. And that's the message again this evening, friends, for ourselves. As Christians, this is the only thing we can do. Only thing we want to do is to be so found walking with God day by day, walking a prayerful spirit. Every situation of life, we leave it in the Lord's hands, knowing he'll do all things well. What do you do whenever you find yourself in a position of anguish or fear? What do you do? Are you tempted or inclined to rely upon yourself, your own abilities, to get yourself out of your dilemma? Or do you rush to some friend or other for advice or for help. What I suggest to you this evening, that is not the way forward. That is not the answer. In our remembrance of life, we turn to the Lord prayerfully, turning first to God our Lord as we rely upon him, seeking his help, his direction. This is what we ought to do. My Christian friends, believers this evening, in our Christian living, in our Christian actions, the subject and the practice of prayer should be one which we all agree upon. Our desire should be that of becoming all the more prayerful, being a prayerful people, praying and praying again, praying in our homes, praying in church, praying every opportunity. From these words then, in verses 12 and 13, we learn the following. We see here, first of all, an entreaty. An entreaty. Verse 12 says, God says to the people, pray to me. Pray to me. It's clear, it's plain, it's straightforward. Pray to me, says the Lord. This is God's very clear directive and command. These distressed Jews were to be a praying people. And friends, the same is true for ourselves. You and I must be and ought to be a praying people. Men and women who take time day by day to pray to our Lord, to ask his direction and his help. Now, of course, you and I cannot stand outside each other's doors listening to hear a so-and-so praying. We don't do that. Of course not. But what I could do this evening is to encourage each one in your own homes, your own situations, to be found proving God by your prayer lives. I remember a number of years ago now, one of the elders of the Northern Presbytery, who's still alive, on one occasion in this conversation, a private conversation with myself, he said, these are his words. Without prayer, I just could not get through my day. Without prayer, I just could not get through my day. Those words came from Brother Elder, different from the congregation altogether, from Kilnats elsewhere in the presbytery. But those words struck me, I took notice of them. Without prayer, I just could not get through my day. And friends, wouldn't you and I say the same? As Christians, we're not our situation. Without prayer day by day, we couldn't get through the day. We couldn't face the day. But with prayer, we can face our lives before us. And we do so confidently. And then three days. Secondly, we see here an encouragement. An encouragement. Look again at verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me. Imagine that. Seeking after God in prayer, but not more, but more than that, and seeking after God, we'll find him. He's there for us. He's only a prayer away. He's there to us in our situations of life. If our praying got us nowhere, if our praying was of no avail, then there'd be no need to pray. But we can truly say this evening that our God is truly the prayer-hearing one and the prayer-answering God. Friends, if you want encouragement tonight, if you want encouragement in this service this evening, you want to be encouraged, there's your encouragement. Our God is the prayer-hearing and the prayer-answering one. He tells us so in these words. He assures us of his help and of his assistance. Encouragement. We want to encourage in our Christian faith. There's encouragement tonight for ourselves and our praying. And then fourthly and finally, we note here this evening, a promise. A promise. You come to verse 14 before us. God again speaking says to the children of Israel, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I'll bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and places of the earth where I have banished you, declares the Lord. I bring you back to the place which I carried you into exile. Oh, friends, could you begin to imagine? You really couldn't begin to imagine how those words must have brought great comfort to these people who were in exile. Far, far, far away from home. And God is here saying to them, God is here promising them. He's making a promise. He's saying to them, I will bring you to bring home. I deliver you from your situation. I'll be there for you. From these words, we discover that it was not God's intention to allow the exile to last forever. As Scripture tells us, after 70 years, some of them will return to Judah, to home again. God will not forget his children. And there's the lesson this evening, friends. God, your Lord, will not forget you. God, your Lord, will not forsake you. God, your Lord, is with you every step of the way. And God, the Lord, is with you both now and in eternity. That is because God has promised. And what he has promised, he will fulfill. Our God does not promise and then break his promises. Our God promises and keeps his promises. And that's what he did to the children of Israel as they experienced deliverance from their situation. God fulfilled his promise. For ourselves, as we endeavor to walk with God the Lord day by day, as you and I endeavor to put God always first in our lives, as we look to the future with God and walk with God day by day, then for you and for me, our future is bright. Our future is promising. Because we're walking with God, as God already described it there to you earlier on my address this evening, a God has a plan for you, a purpose for your lives. A God who will do all things well for you and for me. However, friends, it's up to you and myself then to be found day by day, depending upon the promises of Scripture, depending upon God's word, and accepting God's word to be true and relevant to our situations. And so it is this evening. If you feel you're passing through perhaps a difficult time, a hard time, a time of uncertainty, a time in which you're not sure what the future holds for you, rest assured that God has promised not to leave you. Rest assured that God the Lord is with you every step of the way, that he will do all things well in your life, as he did so for the children of Israel in Babylon. He'll do so for you in your Christian living, in your Christian lives here in Kilrats. And as you trust him, as I trust him, we move forward confidently. Yes, confidently. Hand in hand with God our Lord. Let's pray. O Lord our God, give to us that faith, that belief, and that trust, which accepts your word and endeavors to live out your word day by day. Help us, Lord, today hold upon the promises of Scripture. And look to those promises, O Lord God, there's always a word of reassurance and comfort to be found. And so, however we're facing this evening, or tomorrow or next week, doesn't matter when, help us then, O Lord God, to turn again to the Scriptures, to the promises of Scripture, to be assured, to be enabled to move forward to yourself. O Lord, how reassuring it is even to realize that for us, your children, your believing children, that you do have a plan, a purpose for our lives. Oh Lord, that's wonderful. You are a covenant God of plan and purpose for us each one. Help us then, Lord God, to trust you for the fulfillment of those plans. In Christ our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.